Hello, respected viewers. I'm George from Ireland. Here I am on the water side of Derry. Sad to see pro-terrorist graffiti there. Ulster Freedom Fighters, an absolutely colloquial and revolting organisation, notorious for their bestial attacks on the Catholic civil population. So murdering unarmed people, people who had no connection with the IRA, INLA, and so on. There was the Ulster Defence Association, founded about 1970, with the motto "Law before violence," and it grew out of some very local ones like Shankill Defence Association, Woodville Defence Association in Belfast. Initially, with the blessing of the security forces, so men patrolling at night, armed with a whistle, simply to raise the alarm if there was an intruder to challenge this person, because it might be the IRA coming in. But then they went further than that. They started wearing paramilitary uniforms, some of them attacking Roman Catholic community, murdering people. You think about the loyalist terrorists, is they were very ineffectual, even in their own terms. The people they killed were almost never, or very rarely, members of terrorist organisations like the Irish National Liberation Army or the Provisional IRA. And they're often, they're vociferous, the loyalist terrorists, often killing each other. The disputes over strategy, just a power struggle, divvying up the drug money and so on. So that was the UDA, but they would often carry out their attacks and phone up the media and say, yeah, it was us, but they'd give it as the name is Ulster Freedom Fighters. So finally in 1992, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Sir Patrick Mayhew, who was lucky enough to meet me once, he outlawed it. That was the UDA, but the UFF continued its monstrous crimes. Anyway, you see raise the colours, but it's a very common thing in unionist areas of Northern Ireland to see the Union flag and then the Ulster flag, as in six county Ulster flag for Londonderry, Antrim, Down, Armagh, Fermanagh and Tyrone. So six pointed star for that, and the crown above it with a white field. So it's quite like St George's Cross, which is the flag of South Britain. Because obviously the historical Ulster is nine counties, although even County Louth was considered part of Ulster at one time, and this county, Londonderry, used to be called County Tyrone. Of course, many people call it County Derry. I don't mind calling it County Derry either. You call it whichever. I don't think it's sensible or mature to freak out if somebody uses a toponym that one doesn't prefer oneself. And so we are. So, you know, I don't mind seeing any flag, whether national or a non-national flag, flying anywhere in the world. It wouldn't bother to me to see a Paraguayan flag or a Rwandan flag flying here or anything like that. But these flags, I mean, I suppose, are they put up illegally? Don't they need permission? A little bit dangerous on the ladder going up like that. On all these lampposts could fall off and hurt yourself. People flying Irish tricolours on the other side of the river, and it doesn't bother me in the least. People painted the curbstones, all right. Beautified the place, as in red, white and blue. The colours of the Union flag, you'll see them green, white and orange in other parts of Northern Ireland. Now, where are flags flown? I mean, usually where territory is disputed to emphasise that it belongs to us. And Republic of Ireland, I've never ever seen anybody painting any curbstones. And the tricolour is very seldom flown in the Republic of Ireland because everybody knows this is the Republic of Ireland. Likewise, in that city cemetery, there were flagpoles over so many graves. There weren't that many flags flying. I never seen a single flagpole in Southern Ireland over any grave, and so on. This is the water side of this city. Only about a third of the population lives on the water side of Derry. So this is east of the River Foyle. And so the other side is called the city side. I mean, the bog side is just beyond the old city wall. So historic Derry is all over there on the west bank of the River Foyle. And so that city, Derry, or Londonderry, gives its name to the county. And obviously well over 1,000 years, Derry was the capital of Ulster. It was only the mid-19th century that Belfast became bigger. And then that was considered to be the capital. I don't know what it's officially shifted, but, you know, Belfast was a town. It only got city status in about 1880 and grew so fast, actually got a larger population than Dublin. I remember reading From Synagogue to Church by Cecil Hurwitz, a fellow Cork man, alas and alack, summoned to his reward over 20 years ago. But he knew some schoolboy doggerel from the 1930s saying, whatever it is, Dublin was, Belfast is, and Cork shall be the greatest of the three. I don't think Cork's ever been the greatest in any sense, much though I'm fond of my hometown. Okay, that's it. There were some more flags. I wonder if there were of some of these loyalist terrorist organisations. So what is a loyalist, in case you don't know? There's people who say, definitely say they want Northern Ireland to be in the United Kingdom. They want the Act of Union to be maintained. They go further than that, and they would definitely be Protestant. They'd often be affiliated to the Loyal Orders, as in the Orange Order, the Royal Purple Arch, the Royal Black Institution, or the Apprentice Boys of Derry. So you could be a Catholic Unionist. I'm not sure one can be a Catholic Loyalist these days. Obviously, Loyalists were a little bit different. Say, the 18th century time of 1798, anyone said, yes, we obey the law, we acknowledge the legitimacy of the government. King George III is the King of Ireland, and so forth. And so here we go on, yeah? So the thing about Loyalists is they're really not that loyal to the government. They say, well, nationalists have to obey the laws, even they totally disagree with it, but we don't. We'll obey the laws that we agree with, and we'll disobey the ones that we don't agree with, which is preposterous. Come on. If people have to obey laws, whether they like them or dislike them. So that's it, because, you know, nationalists largely didn't accept the legitimacy of the government, but, I mean, loyalists did, so you can't have it both ways. So you see that there are other flags up there. I'm not sure which one that is. Then I've seen the crimson flag of the Apprentice Boys of Derry a little while ago, as in it's commemorating those 13 adolescents who slammed the gates of Derry on the 7th of December 1688 to prevent the Redshanks entering the city under the Earl of Antrim, who was sent there by James II. Of course, communications are so slow in those days, people didn't realise that James II had already fled to France, because he was good friends with King Louis XIV, the Sun King, having been overthrown by William of Orange, the Stadtholder of the Netherlands, King Billy, as loyalists tend to call him, William III. All right, I'm going to cross over in a minute. Anyway, so it's almost all 20th century housing. Quite unremarkable, some sort of working class, some middle class areas up on Ross Downey Road. So the Protestant community of Londonderry City overwhelmingly lives over here on the waterside, which is not to say that everybody here is a Protestant. For example, I know an elderly Catholic woman who lives here. So, you know, on the city side, there's only about 5% Protestant, whereas on the waterside, about 50%, and so on. So the Catholic community, we're in the great preponderance on the city side. So that's west of the River Foyle. And that's it. I mean, fortunately, sectarianism has really declined. Hasn't been a sectarian murder for quite a few years. Obviously, I'd rather there's no sectarianism whatsoever. And apparently, it actually doesn't matter to people that much, which is wonderful. And, you know, they used to call them mixed marriages between people of the two major Christian denominations. They're very common and uncontroversial these days. Whereas, like in the 1970s, it was a real no-no. I know a chap, his parents from Tyrone, and they got married. They were from different Christian denominations. And they shifted to London because it was so awkward at that time to be a couple where one was Protestant, one was Catholic. I don't remember which one was which. And these days nobody cares. Of course, plenty of people are in relationships, have children, and they're not married. So Northern Ireland is maybe not quite as liberal as Great Britain, but has moved on. I mean, as recent as the 1980s, having a child out of wedlock, that was a real no-no. You were so bad. But fortunately, people don't really mind, and homosexuality is more widely acceptable. I remember going to a talk by who was a former Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. It was the guy, the Conservative one, who was before Mayhew. It was the guy who was found drunk in the gutter. I don't remember, was it Peter Brook? And he said, Peter Mandelson, the Labour guy, was Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, saying his sexuality will be an issue. Some people in the province have strong views on the matter. Dr. Paisley's party have very strong views on the matter. So the Reverend Dr. Ian Paisley, long-time leader of the Democratic Unionist Party, he was thought to be quite anti-gay, launched a big campaign in 1982 to save Ulster from sodomy, you know, not saying that homosexuality shouldn't be decriminalised in Northern Ireland. Okay, anyway, more flags. You can see the crimson one there. I should zoom in later, of the Apprentice Boys of Derry. That's enough for me. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure to subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. I'm sure that's where you're going to send all the hate mail and death threats. Bye-bye.